Today, I want to talk about the initiatives for 2015. I'm not going to focus as much on the love, but if you were here, remember on point three, we were talking about, and I'll get to that, that's in point two this time, but we're talking about the parable of the talents, and there was the one guy that did not initiate doing anything. And because of that, right in the midst of that, the Lord spoke to me and said, this is a year to initiate. And we began to really develop that, the year of initiation, a year of initiating, to have initiative. So we're going to get on that in a second here. Where this is going to lead us to is two things. The first thing is we're going to enjoy communion before the Lord together as we go over these points. But the other thing is this. We learned this from our previous pastor, Jack Hayford. Years ago, we would write letters to the Lord. And as I was just sharing with a new person with us, we toward the end of here after communion, we'll take out this, we'll hand out some envelopes, and we'll write our address, name and address on the envelope, and then you just take the piece of paper and you put Dear Jesus, and then you just start talking. Often I'll start with something of a thanksgiving, and then talk about things that I have a hunger in my heart for. I remember one year I noticed the fact that I had written down a request. For about 8 years, it seemed to be quite a long time. And then the year it happened, and it changed my life. Have you ever had something, a longing that just goes by a year? But I would bring it before the Lord and ask, and the Lord would begin to do something in me. I think what was going on is he had to prepare me for it. How about you guys? You know how that works. So anyway, I would like us, if you have your Bibles or your phones, Matthew chapter 25. We're going to look at the whole of this chapter, Matthew 25. And I want us to, it's funny how the Lord just leads us. He's amazing that way. I was looking at the middle of it, and the Lord showed me something in the middle. And then I was working toward this Sunday, and he said, well, just step back a little bit. I stepped back, and I saw the bigger picture. And so we're going to start with this concept, first of all. I'm not even going to put the point up because she has the points, but we don't have fill-ins today. But I want to talk with you about this. I want to go ahead and start reading this. This is verse 1, and I'm going to ask you to tune in. Ready? Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. And the bridegroom was delayed, and they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered and said, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered to them, listen to this, guys. Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. This is an amazing thing. Here's people with a vessel that should have some oil available for them to burn when he comes. And there's the 5 wise ones that made sure that they had a flask of oil to pour into their lamp to make sure they had fire going. And the wise ones said, we can't give you any of ours. There's not enough for both of us. So you go in to the dealers and get some of your own. And they left to go figure all that out. And in the meantime, because they were not prepared, Jesus comes and they have no part of him. Wow. How about this? Let's look at it this way. How about having a form of godliness and denying the power of it? How about, what does oil represent? What does oil represent? All through the Old Testament. Oil is that thing that you put on something to dedicate it to God. It's an anointing. It's the presence of God. It's the presence of God. The oil represents the presence and working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's not automatic. There is a price that you and I must pay to have the activity of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in our life. This is not an automatic thing, is it? God's love for you is automatic, but you're cultivating the flask of oil. You're cultivating the presence of God in your life. It's really important. How many of you know you can go a long time and look like a believer and not be living in the fullness of the Holy Spirit? So number one is to initiate intimate relationship with God. To initiate an intimate relationship with God. And it's going to cost you something this year. If you've kind of fallen off and been kind of wandering around, there are many different things to do to cultivate in addition to prayer and communion and opening up to Him. I remember, I'll just never forget this. I was having my devotions one time. And I was sitting there and the Lord whispered to my heart, "I love you." And I was sitting there going, "I don't have time for this. I'm doing my devotions." Just, you know, knock on wood. My goodness. That God is saying, "I love you," and He's devoted to me. And here I am trying to get something out of the Word, missing the relationship, where He's saying, "Here's some fresh oil. Cultivate the fact that I love you." How many of you need more of that? The reality of the love of God in our life changes everything. And I think it's really interesting that He points us to the wise virgins first in this passage. Jesus is saying, initiate. Initiate whatever you got to do to get my presence into your life on a daily basis. Are you there? I want to tell you, there's an anointing in the Word of God. And I found this little quote here. I love it. I feel like I should have some of that That's My King music in the background. Well, you know, it says, "This is the Word of God. It's supernatural in origin, eternal in duration, inexpressible in value, infinite in scope, regenerative in power, infallible in authority, universal in interest, personal in application, inspired in totality." Read it through, write it down, pray it in, work it out, and pass it on. Hallelujah. Somebody say, "I am going to make some decisions and initiate living in the fullness of the presence of God in 2015. Hallelujah. It'll change everything. It'll change everything. It'll change everything. I want to tell you, one of the things, real simple, one of the things that's so incredibly important is just show up on Sundays. Just show up. Just show up. There's something that happens about the first, you miss one, it's okay. Miss two, you kind of wander around. Miss three, you go, "Gosh, am I actually saved?" There's something about the meeting in the body that causes a heart. And I've watched it because I've seen it in my own life. There's a subtle disconnect that begins to happen. And if you're not challenged with the Word, you'll end up as a sheep that's just gone her own way. It's an amazing thing. And you're all thinking you're just fine. And that's called a foolish virgin. Because there's not the fullness of the Spirit there. There's one capacity when you come to the gas station and fill up with gas. That's something that God gives us all. When we reach to Him and touch Him corporately, there's something about corporate worship and there's something about personal worship. Is that right? And your devotion to Jesus on a personal level gets a shot in the arm when you come into the corporate environment. So everybody say, initiate. Intimate relationship with God. I want to go on to the next parable. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to summarize it real quick. I will read the very first line. It's really good. It says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey." Listen to this, guys. "Who called his servants and entrusted to them his property." How many of you ever heard that little saying? What God gives you is his gift to you, and what you make of it is your gift to Him. That's buried in this. He gives them his property. And to the one, he gives 10 talents, capacity to do stuff. The one, he gives 5. And those guys go off. Everybody say, double it. And the Lord is delighted when they come back and they've doubled what he's given them. He says, well done. Enter into the joy of my presence, for you've been faithful. Everybody say, faithful. To take and work on what God has given you and cause it to produce and multiply gives God glory. But there's this other one who gave one talent, and the person did not understand the heart of the master. And he said, I thought you were harsh, that you reap where you don't sow, that you were, but I was afraid. And so I took what you gave me and I buried it. And so I just want you to know, here, you got it back. And he was upset. The master said, at least you could have put it in the bank and got interest, something. You lazy, slothful servant. And now, listen, this guy is not even... from the passage, he's not going to heaven. How about that? And so we see that he was one that thought he was right by giving God back what God gave him. But he was absolutely wrong in that he did not invest what God gave him. Number two would be this. Initiate personal and or professional growth through, with, and for Christ. In, through, with, and for Christ. Initiate personal. Isn't that good? Take what God has given you. Now, here's the cool thing about this. There's nobody like you. There's nobody with the capacity you have. And it doesn't matter how much you have in life or how much you don't have. There's somebody else that they have a different capacity. So it's not about a contest of who can do the most. The fact is, there's a capacity in you. There are certain things that I'm able to do and certain things I'm not able to do. I have certain realm of things I can do and certain things I can't. Aren't you like the same? But what are you doing with what you have? And in the workplace, when you're doing what God's graced you to do, there's a presence of God because of number one. Number one is initiating a relationship with God. And number two is you're working on what you're about, what God's given you to do. And there's something of an increased capacity of his touch because you're doing it. Is that right? Because you're the one doing it. Praise the Lord. I feel like we've already had a wonderful morning. But the one that challenges me the most is the next one. By the way, on this particular point, 80% of what you do every day can be done by somebody else. 80%. Laundry, buy groceries, that kind of stuff. 80% can be done by somebody else. Another 15%. Taking it up to 95%, can be done by somebody else who has skill. Doing your bills, paying your taxes, more integral things. There's only 5% of your life that nobody can do but you. Isn't it amazing? Tell somebody, develop character. Nobody can do that for you. Live a life of integrity. Nobody can do that for you except you. Nobody can invest the things that you need to invest in except you. Is that right? Nobody can hold your tongue for you. Nobody can think your thoughts for you. Nobody can read your Bible for you. Nobody can absorb those things. Nobody can... Are you hearing me? So when it comes to our letters to the Lord, what are some areas where you feel, so I'm going to initiate personal growth in this area? Are you there? And let's look at our last one. Before we do, I want to go ahead and read the passage. It's the first one is called the Parable of the 10 Virgins. This one's called, the second one's the Parable of the Talents. This last section is called the Final Judgment. So hold on to your seats. Are you ready? When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. This is Jesus talking. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on the right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." The righteous will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." And then He will say to those on the left, the goats, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick in prison, you did not visit me." And then they will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" And then He answered and said, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is pretty heavy stuff, don't you think? And so what do we do? Look at number three is initiate caring for those less fortunate than you, regardless of the reason for their misfortune. Initiate caring for those who are less fortunate than you, regardless of the reason for their misfortune. Somewhere in that letter, there's got to be something that cares about somebody else other than us. Jesus says that caring for anyone in difficulty is caring for Him. Now, that's amazing. Would you agree caring for others calls for a generous and unselfish spirit? It calls us out of our immediate comfort zone to risk impacting others for Christ. Because people are hurting today in all kinds of ways. Everybody say this, they need substantial healing. Is that right? Now I want to just address something in our body life here. I know there's, we know many are not here today. But I want to say this. I was talking with someone earlier. Part of the resensitizing of the Holy Spirit in us is this, for this reason. When you have your quotient of friends, you don't need any more. I have the people that are my friends that I hang out with. I don't need any more. But then someone comes to church, and you're unavailable because you got your quotient. And this person comes in and they don't have their quotient because they're going through something. But because, I'm not saying you specifically, I'm just saying you in general. Because your quotient is full, they can't break in to relating with you. Because you got your quotient. And there are people that come into our circles. And somewhere in the letter, I think it should say, I'm going to reach out to people beyond me, beyond my immediate need. How about you? Many of you are so wonderful already at reaching out to folks that come and making sure that they have a sense of belonging. But could I invite you to allow the Lord to help you highlight? There's people that walk in the door and in your life. Some of you are a little bit more quick to pick up on that, so others might not be. I just wanted to bring that up because last week when we were ministering The Lord put a thought. Could you reach the person that you used to be? Could you actually reach the person that you used to be? Amazing thought. And where are you now, and can you be that person to reach? Because there are people who are not doing as well as they would like to, and you can make all the difference in the world. Is that right? Hallelujah. So I want to go ahead and take our time. Those who are going to be serving communion, come on up. And as everybody's being served, this is the Lord's table. It's not mine. It's not our church's. Well, we actually own this little table here, but metaphorically, the Lord says, everyone who would come. Hallelujah. And if you, by the way, if you're opening your life to the Lord, this is for you. If you're saying, I don't want anything to do with Jesus, this is a fruitless act, and I'd prefer you just recommend you stuff the thing in your pocket. But if you're opening to the Lord, this is His table. Amen? Because it's a spiritual moment to impart. Paul said, when I come to you, I'll impart some spiritual gift. And Jesus is all about us coming to His table and Him imparting something that we don't have on our own. How many of you found out the Lord called you to live a life that you can't do without Him? Let's lift the bread before the Lord. It was on that day Jesus was betrayed. He took the bread, He broke it, and He said, take and eat. This is my body given for you. And there's a capacity of the Lord. Do you realize, even though the Lord was whipped and His blood came out of His body, He was crucified for us, and all of that, He never sinned and was never had one sin. This is our God. This is amazing grace. The God who came in human form and never sinned once, yet understands everything we go through. This is ingenious how God is. He understands every place, every temptation, every hurt, everything in our life, and He's come to make us whole. And He imparts wholeness. And we come to the Lord. There may be a prayer shooting up in your heart and you want wholeness for someone else. And you know in your family there's a need for wholeness. And Jesus has His eye upon the sparrow. Surely He has His eye on you. And He's looking to cause wholeness to happen in your family. By faith. The Lord just highlighted that to me right now. And He's just coming upon that. Let's go ahead and say, those who need the Lord's wholeness in our families, we're going to claim it now as we partake. Not only our own hearts, but we're going to look to those who need more than what we than what they have. We need them to know Jesus. Let's lift it up. Praise You, Lord. You're the bread of their life too. You're the bread of life. We pray for Your divine nourishment to come into all of our families, a wholeness that Jesus is, to come and bring miracle provision. Miracle provision. Sons and daughters who walked away. Sons and daughters who are broken. Sons and daughters who need healing. We claim them in the name of Jesus Christ. And we come to Your table and say, Lord, You were good to me. So You sent somebody for me. Send somebody for them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's partake together in agreement. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Grace isn't fair. God doesn't play fair. The guy, the thief on the cross, one of them said, if You're the Son of God, get us down from there. I said, what are you saying, man? And he looks to Jesus and he says, remember me when you come into Your kingdom. And Jesus looks at a guy who's not even had a chance to do one thing for Him. Grace is not fair. Never has been, never will be. Grace isn't fair. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Jesus taught about a guy coming to work early in the field. He's working, and invites somebody later in the afternoon. That guy comes in, works late, gives them both the same wages. Grace isn't fair. So empty your soul from complaint. Why is it so hard on me right now? Grace isn't fair. There's something God's cultivating in you through the trial you're going through. Grace isn't fair. Grace develops. Grow in the grace. Grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace. It's undeserved. It's unmerited. You can't earn it. It's not fair. You can't put in so many hours of devotion and get further along. I mean, it will grow you and develop you, but it doesn't give you brownie points. It's how much you yield to the one. How much you give your heart over. How much you're all... There's so many people want forgiveness and they don't want to repent. There's so many people that want everything God gives without... They'll buy in without selling out. Grace isn't fair. He says, I want you to sell out. You'll be happy you did. Can I ask you to sell out? I'm asking myself to go further than ever. How many of you have fears you have to overcome? That's why the blood is so powerful. And this is what's really amazing about this. In the lineup of sacrifices, when it came to the sacrifice in the lineup of the Levitical ones here, when Jesus was on the cross, it was the guilt offering. How many of you ever felt guilt, shame, condemnation on your soul? Jesus is the guilt offering. So every failure you could ever have done, he says, I'm going to wash away the guilt of your insecurity, the guilt of your incapacity, the guilt of your not being able to pull it off. I'm going to wash it all away. I'm going to take care of you. I'm taking care of you. You don't have to feel that you... How many of you feel like, I just don't measure up? Lord says, that's all right. That's all right. I'm going to go ahead and wash that right out of you. I'm going to forgive you for all the shortcomings. Hallelujah. How many of you know grace just isn't fair? It just keeps telling you that you're greater than you are. It just tells you that you're nicer than you could ever be. Grace just somehow gives you a capacity to be what you could never be. And so when you hold the cup in your hand, you realize God doesn't play fair. He forgave me and I shouldn't. Of all the things I've done, I shouldn't be here. No way. Grace isn't fair. It's grace. It's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Let's go ahead and lift it up. Thank you, Lord. Let's praise Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the washing, Lord. Thank you for the cleansing. Thank you for the power. Thank you for making us new. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for a clean slate. A clean slate. A clean slate. In Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's partake together. Hallelujah. 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 If you can set the cup aside just for a moment. Take somebody's hand there. I'll hold your hand here. Put the cup there. Lord, this is this first Sunday of this year. Can I lead you in a prayer? It's my choice to initiate intimate relationship with you, to do things, to cause the presence of God to be in my life ongoingly, my flask full of oil. I make a decision today to cultivate what you've put in me for your glory. And I choose today to think beyond myself to those who are less fortunate and bring impact into people's lives, because the greatest joy is the joy of giving. Amen. Let's lift our heads. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.